The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. We're going to do this a little differently today. You'll see that our text, Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12, are divided up into the left side and the right side. So, if you are in the left side, you're over here. And if you're on the right side, you're over here. So, I get to begin. Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, many, many years ago, very late on a Saturday night, in fact, the night before All Saints Sunday, though I was completely unaware of it at the time, I sat in a dimly lit kitchen searching the scriptures, sitting there at the table. I wasn't looking for just anything. I was looking for something very specific, a list of people who were blessed. I knew I'd read it before, or at least heard of it. Blessed are those who do this, blessed are those who do that. I couldn't remember what it said exactly, but I knew it was somewhere in the Bible, and I'd made up my mind to find it that night. I graduated from college that spring, and that summer I participated in my older brother's wedding, and then I hitchhiked across the country, and I came home to the news that my parents were getting divorced. I'd arranged to rent one side of a duplex with a friend of mine until he ended up getting a job in San Francisco in the Bay Area down there. So instead of my buddy moving in, my dad moved in with me. As you can imagine, he was very depressed, and it was shattering to me to watch him disintegrate. I worried that he'd never be the same, and I also slipped into darkness. I probably sort of looked like this guy up here in the painting. I graduated and I was looking for a job, but I was completely without direction. And as one month rolled into another month, without any success in my job search, my depression turned to despair, and then despair to desperation. So there I sat, late one night, searching through the Bible, desperate for help. What I was hoping to find was instruction. I knew there was a list of people who were blessed. If I could just find that list, surely it would tell me what I have to do to be blessed also. What is it that I need to do? Just tell me what to do, God, and I'll do it. The section of scripture that I was looking for so many years ago on the night before All Saints' Day is today's gospel lesson. Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Even though the Sermon on the Mount is situated near the beginning of Matthew's gospel, scholars agree that Jesus spoke these words not at the beginning of his ministry, but near the peak of his popularity. Because near the Sea of Galilee, a huge crowd was following Jesus, some seeking a miracle, others seeking words of forgiveness and hope. And after days of responding to thousands of people surrounding him, Jesus retreated to a mountainside, and gathering his closest followers around him, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." As I sat at that kitchen table, I finally found that list of people who are blessed. And at first, I was excited. I'd finally get an answer to my question, what do I need to do? But as I read those words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," my heart sank. I sat there staring at those words, wondering, what in the world does poor in spirit mean? For that matter, what's the kingdom of heaven? I knew the Lord's Prayer, which says, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." So what and where is the kingdom of heaven? Is it in heaven or is it on earth? I was confused. But before going to bed that night in the wee hours of the morning, I prayed. And I prayed that God would just show me at least what poor in spirit meant. You know, not many hours later, there was a knock on my bedroom door. And it was my dad, always a faithful churchgoer, waking me up, asking me if I wanted to go to church with him. The answer was, "No, I don't want to go to church. I was sleeping." But I went up and went. I got up and went. And sitting near the back of the sanctuary of Christ Lutheran Church, I heard Pastor Cy Torvund explain that morning's gospel lesson, Matthew 5, 1 to 12. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I was stunned because God was answering my prayer. The poor in spirit are those who recognize their own deep, desperate spiritual poverty. The poor in spirit recognize themselves as incorrigible sinners who desperately need God's forgiveness and mercy. The poor in spirit see themselves as they really are. Read the Gospels. It's not the self-righteous, holier-than-thou Pharisee. It's the hated, corrupt, self-serving tax collector who cries out to God for mercy. He's the one who's poor in spirit. It's not the crowd righteously ready to pick up stones. It's the woman caught in the very act of adultery, guilty as the day is long, without alibi, without excuse, without defense. She's the one who's poor in spirit. It's not the law-abiding citizens who are there to watch. It's the guilty thief whose life is slipping away as his blood drips from his pierced hands and feet. The thief on the cross who admits his guilt and turns to Jesus begging for mercy. He's the one who's poor in spirit. It's not those who've kept God's law. It's those who've broken God's law. and have experienced the ugly and bitter consequences of breaking God's law. And in desperation, they cry out to God for mercy. Those who cry out are the ones who are poor in spirit, to whom Jesus promises the kingdom of heaven. The shocking truth is, it's not the moral, it's the immoral. It's not the innocent, it's the guilty. It's not those who keep God's law, because no one keeps God's law. Read Romans 3, or Psalm 53, or Isaiah 53. You know, that night so many years ago, as I searched through a Bible looking for that list, I remembered those people who are blessed. And I wanted to find out what I needed to do to receive God's help. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. But that night, I didn't find any instructions at all. Instead, I found a proclamation of what God has done for me. Blessed are you who recognize your deep and desperate need for God's mercy, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven exists where God's gifts are given and received, God's forgiveness, God's mercy, God's help in every trouble. And that Sunday morning, years ago, All Saints Sunday, I sat in the sanctuary of Christ Lutheran Church, stunned because I'd experienced and recognized the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, God's mercy, God's answer to my prayer, to me, an incorrigible sinner. You know, try as I might, I continue to sin. And God, in His mercy, continues to forgive me. I know that. I know it when I read words of forgiveness in the Scripture, when I hear the words of absolution on Sunday morning, and when I taste the body and blood of Jesus broken and shed for my forgiveness. And sometimes I even feel God's forgiveness. But whether I do or not, I can have confidence that God's forgiveness is real, because I know for an historical fact that 2,000 years ago, Jesus died to atone for my sins and yours. So what's all this have to do with All Saints Sunday? Saints are not perfect. Saints are not sinless. Saints are people simply like you and me, or like the people who've gone before us, who we will join in heaven someday. We saints are poor in spirit and recognize our desperate need for God's forgiveness and mercy. And having received the gift of faith in Christ, we saints can trust that His sacrifice on the cross has fully compensated for our sin. And now we can rest in the kingdom of heaven, recipients of His forgiveness and mercy and help. You're wrapped in the righteous robes of Jesus. Your filth is covered up. You're accepted and loved by God, who will hear your prayers and pour out His mercy upon you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this All Saints Sunday, we thank You we are incorrigible sinners. Your abundant mercy and forgiveness surpasses even our sin. And we have been wrapped in the righteous robes of Jesus. Lord, help us to understand, help us to grasp the incredible treasure that you have given us, and fill our hearts with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.